the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
But first, do state-owned lands hold the key to solving the housing crisis? This week, the clearing of a tent village on Dublin's Mount Street and accommodation shortages for international protection applicants shone the spotlight once again on Ireland's ongoing problems with housing and accommodation. But is that crisis being used to drive anti-immigrant sentiment? My first guest today insists Ireland is far from full and we have the solutions to solve this issue in front of us already. Dr. Lurkin Sir is a senior lecturer at Technological University Dublin and visiting professor of housing at the University of Galway. You're very welcome, Lorcan.
Morning, Richard.
What kind of solution do you think state-owned lands can provide or should provide?
Yeah, I think in any housing situation, you know, where you're desperately short of supply, what you do is you look to what you have first, you know, and see how can you use that. So we know, for example, we have a lot of vacant housing around the place, but that's only a proportion of what we need. But we also know, and it's come to attention the last couple of years, that we've an awful lot of state-owned land. So the Land Development Agency was set up maybe about 5 years ago. And as part of the legislation that established it, it has to create and maintain a register of public lands. And last year they produced what's called a report on public land. And they looked at 10 places around the country. And in those 10 places, they found the potential for about 67,000 homes. That's only in 10 places. Towns above 10,000. So there's Letterkenny is in there, Dundalk, Drogheda, Limerick, Galway, Lone, Sligo, all those kind of places.
So there's a lot of publicly owned land.
This is only publicly owned land, right?
One of the issues, though, when you say, you know, you look to what you have first, the you in that is the state.
Yeah.
But the reality is it might all be owned by the state, but it is managed by a lot of different state entities, bodies, which have their own goals and purposes.
They do. Yeah, and if you break down that 67,000 houses, what the LDA found was that government agencies and bodies have potential for about 18,000 houses, semi-state bodies have about potential for 28,000, and local authorities for 20,000. So you're right, they're all owned by different types of state, but ultimately it's the state, really, you know, and we should all be pulling in the same direction, you know, the idea of the common good and all that. But what you find, and it's the same with solving the immigration problem and the same with solving the housing problem, is that agencies and government departments and bodies are quite protective of their own resources and they're very reluctant to give up. I mean, when this report came out, there was a lot of pushback from certain bodies who were identified in it to say, well, actually, oh, that land really isn't suitable and we weren't consulted about that. The usual kind of stuff, you know, kind of protecting their own
maybe some of it isn't suitable. Look, and I mean, one of the issues and challenges has been around, let's say, infrastructure and roads access and connections to the electricity grid and water and sewage infrastructure. Maybe you could look at a map and say, there's a massive chunk of state land. It's all empty.
Yeah.
But it might not. Some of it might not be suitable.
Well, the LDA, in fairness to them, have done that as well. So out of the 67,000, they also divided it up into different classes. So the ready-to-go stuff, there's nearly 10,000, there's nearly capacity for 10,000 houses on that already, like they're ready to go. And then there's a kind of a mid-level, what they call moderately constrained. So that might need services like water and things like that. But in towns, you're never that far away from a water pipe anyway. That's about 17,000 houses capacity. And then the significantly constrained, what they call that, about 39,000 houses, that might need, for example, a site with no main access. That might need a road to be built into it or around it or whatever. It can all be done, though. You know, these are only constraints really in your head. They can all be overcome.
We've talked about this in the context of the housing crisis for a number of years. The Land Development Agency was born out of the idea of saying, we have all of this state land, why don't we use it to try and fix the problem? The LDA has been given, you know, resources, it's been given statutory footing, it has what it needs, and it is already active on a number of projects involving €1 billion worth of developments. Mm-hmm. They are behind joint ventures and using mm-hmm. that land. But could they be given more powers? Should they be able to say, or somebody direct some of these other state agencies, whether it's local authorities, whether it's some government department land, and say, we're taking this off you, we're buying this, it's the state buying it from or transferring it to another arm of the state?
Yeah, and the other power that the LDA have is compulsory purchase order
power. So they do have that power.
So they do. The problem is, I suspect, at ministerial level or at secretary general level of different departments and different government bodies and agencies, that they just simply will not relinquish the land. And local authorities in particular, I'd say, will, you know, in they might have a plan for that land already, for something else, for a swimming pool or library, what car park, whatever. And then the LDA come along and say, well, actually, we want that land because we want to build 150 social houses, because the LDA now is about social and affordable housing. And you can see in certain, you know, in with certain local authorities and that, that that would not go down well.
But if you were in the local authority and you have that site earmarked for some public amenity, you don't have the money now, nothing's happening now. It might be several years down the road before it's built.
It will.
But if you hand it over for housing, it's gone. And then when you do get the money or the budget to build that public
amenity,
you're
short that bit of land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's be honest here. Like, we're not short of land in Ireland. We're very lowly, densely populated, and local authorities have a huge amount of land, as do, you know, lots of other state agencies. So we're not short of land. And back in 2015, I remember the department did a survey and we found that between serviced and zoned land, public and private around the country, we have capacity for 440,000 houses. So we're not that short of land around the place. The question is using it. And that requires a little bit of leadership at the top to say to Department of Defence or Department of Education or the HSE, you have that land, you're not using it, hand it over now, please.
What about expertise, government departments and various agencies, if they're going to do something with themselves or in conjunction with some other state body? They need engineers, they need a lot of expertise. Maybe they don't have those resources.
Yeah, I mean, typically what happens now, so since about 2000, particularly the advent of Part 5 housing, local authorities lost a lot of skills in terms of architecture and quantity surveying and engineering. They still have engineers, but mostly involved in roads and things like that and water. So your government departments in particular and local authorities have been divested of those skills, without a doubt. What they do now in government departments is buy in the skill sets, and they have the OPW who do a lot of good work with them as well, who have a lot of these skill sets. And in local authorities, I would like to see, these kind of plans for housing, long-term plans, allows local authorities to actually start to build up capacity again in the things that we've lost skill sets for, like architects and housing professionals. We don't have, you know, for all the crisis that housing is in Ireland, in local authorities, there is no such thing as a housing professional. We have architects, quantity surveyors, engineers, but anybody who deals with housing is considered like an admin or a clerical person, which is kind of wrong. So we need to develop that kind of skill set as well.
Are there other solutions that you think could work that you'd like to see happen?
Yeah, again, going back to the initial point about using what you have. I mean, we've an awful lot of vacant properties around the country and derelict properties. And there is a grant available, the vacant refurbishment grant, will give you up to €50,000. The problem is it's paid at the end, so you have to pony up first, you know. To encourage that further, what I would do is A, stage payments, but B, if people wanted to buy, people want big houses nowadays, right? Particularly outside the large urban areas. And I'll say, okay, if you can find a derelict house or a house that's been empty for 2 years, I will give you the grant, but I'll also allow you to put on, say, 80 square metres on an extension. We'll give you a planning exemption if you do up the septic tank and you know new exits on the domain roads, all that kind of stuff. And you start to need to encourage people. And I think
make
also,
it more worth their while.
Yeah, absolutely. Because people do want the big house in the countryside. That's why they move there. But also, I think at the edge of towns, a lot of towns around the country, there's land owned by councils that could be divided into plots and not necessarily sold, but given to people to build their own houses on long-term leases so they can't flip them and make profits and things like that.
In the short term, one of the things that we saw with the removal of the tents and people moved out to the outskirts of the city, there were photographs of the new accommodation for those migrants, and it looked functional, but it wasn't rocket science. It looked like a marquee, some beds, a catering contract, some basic facilities. It's not an ideal solution, but it provides something for them. Why can't we do that more quickly, do you think?
Why can't we do it more often, like more frequently for everybody else? Usually a lot of these things come down to a will, you know, to do that. And only when there's public pressure, sometimes, in my experience, in housing, only when there's public pressure. So we saw in the UK, for example, when Grenfell happened, when the fire happened, there was a massive public, you know, outcry about that. Similarly here, the history of housing will show that it takes a crisis for things to change, buildings collapsing, children getting killed, all that kind of stuff. That changes public perception and then governments move on it. I'm not sure the immigrant issues at the moment is generating enough kind of public sympathy, really, to be honest with you, to motivate ministers to kind of actually demonstrate a bit of leadership and get stuff done quicker, you know.
So you would argue that there isn't enough urgency or will about it, but no doubt it'll be something we'll be coming back to again. Dr. Lurkin, sir, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Senior Lecturer at Technological University Dublin and Visiting Professor of Housing at the University of Galway.